Hey, remember to subscribe and follow my podcast so when I release a new episode, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. I am very active on there. Have a great day and enjoy the episode.
It's lifetime vastly changes the you know, structure of its, you know, what you're putting in your body. So there's all kinds of considerations, and it's pretty simple, like you're saying. It's just natural foods, right? Whichever direction you want to go, whether it's keto or paleo or vegan or whatever, you know, thing is, like, those are tend to be good options as long as it's natural along the way. So, it's no surprise to me that you're feeling awesome on, you know, you laying the boundaries for in your diet that you are. And I have felt the same way, that I used to eat really, really terribly and have a lot of, you know, stomach and issues and stuff like that. And now, I don't really, you know, go through that stuff really at all.
What I find amazing, it's almost like people don't want to eat chicken stuff, so they go vegetarian. And then they heard of a company called Corn, right? A company ends up creating a kind of a meat-free chicken nugget, right? So it tastes really nice. It tastes like a chicken nugget, and it does. I had 2 minutes ago. It tastes like a chicken nugget, right? And I'm like, God knows what's in that thing to make it taste like chicken. So again, it's like you suddenly start eating nice, healthy vegetable food, and yet your ego and can't help but have bad food. So you're like, oh, well, this is a chicken nugget. There's no meat in it. It's really good. It's like you couldn't just eat that lettuce leaf and that nice olive. You had to go back to having vegetable in a chicken nugget and, oh, well, it's meat free. And it's like you're doing the opposite. It's got shit. It's fucking man-made. Okay, that's the whole point. It's man-made. Just eat natural. Like, companies can't help but kind of see a trend and then think, oh, people are eating chocolate olives. I'll make a chocolate olive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, chocolate olives. I don't know if that sounds
just
get
first of the game to my head.
Yeah, no, I I mean the biggest example is like you're saying, not the chicken nuggets one, but the burgers, impossible burgers, right? Or whatever they're called. And I honestly don't, I've heard both sides of it. I honestly would probably think that it's all the processed soy and processed blah, blah, blah to make it taste awesome, but then, you know, sort of bring people away from that natural sense for sure. We just have to redevelop our palates, like you're saying. Like, if you have a palate for the junk food kind of stuff, it's going to take time. And there's actually, I remember there was a chart that was like, if you're craving salt, then you could offset that with this. And it was like herbs and nuts and like, you know, just things that sort of like satiated the brain when it's going off saying like, oh, I want that like salty chip, or I want that sweet sugary cake or something like that. Then there's actually, I don't know if it was like a hormone kind of transfer or, you know, something chemically, but there was actually foods that can. So if you're someone that struggles hard with like sweet tooth or you know, salty, savory, then you can actually look up what are the things that you can offset that with that are totally natural.
Yeah, I remember when I suddenly started to change my diet, it's like watching porn. If you're used to watching porn every night, your brain's going to ping out a thought and then it needs that reward.
Yes.
At what point do you starve that thought? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, hang on, where's my chicken nuggets with all that salt? And then your body starts to forget that feeling. And then it becomes easier not to watch porn, not to have a chicken nugget full of salt. And then you are able to have a nut. But yeah, you're right. It does take time. It's not hard. It's not easy.
It's not easy, yeah. One of the best books about this topic is called Atomic Habits by James Clear? That's a really good one for these, like, how can we make incremental improvements in our habits so that we can get that first bit of momentum and clock those small wins? Even his example is like, commit to just the first 2 minutes of something, whether it's like you want to build a meditation practice or you want to be going to the gym, it's 5 a.m. or whatever your thing is, you know, and basically All you have to do is just the first 2 minutes. Just tell yourself, all I'm going to do is I'm just going to put on my running shoes, or all I'm going to do is just sit down for the first 30 seconds. And then once you're there, you're like, oh, well, this is fine. I can just continue on for the rest of the 5 minutes. But if you tell yourself, I'm going to do an hour and a half in the gym, and then you wake up and you feel like crap and you're like, an hour and a half? No way. I might as well just bail, right? Same thing with meditation or whatever food, you know, habit change you're trying to do. But it's habits. Like, that's what the book is really profound in, like, showing you, is that, like, oh my God, like, my entire being is just a, you know, composite of all these, like, minuscule habits that I have that build this, you know, sense of character, and that I have these weaknesses here, and that's my downfall in a lot of different areas. I have these strengths here. That's my, you know, strength in a lot of different areas. So it's, you know, it's a fractal way of looking at how we behave, right? It's just sequences of habits.
What was the last thing you thought about when you were on the toilet?
I'm trying to remember when I was last. I was probably...
You've got such a good diet that you shit every 3 days of your lettuce diet.
No, it's daily for me. Oh, man. It was probably something about my Instagram, because that tends to be like the thing that I think about on my downtime. Is just, yeah, how am I gonna come out further, you know what I mean, and really just show my energy, whether it's in the type of content I create, or the people that I network with. It's just it takes up my mind, that's for sure.
How have you managed to get your Instagram to 30,000, and how long has it taken?
Yeah, it took a long time. I think I started in 2014, and
oh, shit.
Yeah, so it's definitely not a new thing. I have been blessed to have networked with some really incredible people. I think that the biggest growths that spurts that I've had have been when I've been connecting with some of my brothers and sisters in like certain areas or certain things. Like, I went on tour with Mike Love, who is an incredible musician based out of Hawaii. We went all the way from Texas up to the Midwest, and then down to Florida, and that was in 2018. Before that, I'd connected with a brother named Vishuddha Das, who was actually at that point going by Koi Fresco. And my shout out to him, and my brother Moonhawk, who introduced us, Potential Bliss. I just have been lucky to have a few friends who have, you know, had their own really big accounts. And I don't know, just long-term consistency, right? Like, when it was really easy to go viral at the beginning, I was just putting out covers like all the time. And it was like very like nonchalant, you know what I mean? Like, people put a lot of effort in these days on their Instagram. And for me, it was just like, I'm just going to put a post out, like, I don't know, a few times, like every couple days or something like that. And it would just go viral.
Going back to the sitting on the toilet thing, what I was getting at is, what thing do you think about, like a deep thought that's just on your mind, what, like something really powerful that you think about? That's what I was getting at. It's just most of the time you take a poo and you think about something like, wonder if there's actually an alien out there, and you look down and you're like, there's one there.
Yeah, these profound thoughts, I don't write them down probably as much as I have them. I wish I could fill this space with something that was like perfect for this, but I'm not in the practice of recording these moments. If you give me a minute, I might be able to get it, but I'll answer this by the end.
When I first started to meditate, obviously thoughts come into your head, and if you think about them, then you keep thinking of more. But as you said, that 2 minutes before putting your trainers on to go on a run type of thing, if you starve your brain of that initial thing, it changes the brain thing. And I remember sitting on the toilet and reading all the shampoo bottles, right? I remember every time I got a thought into my head, I would read the shampoo bottles, like the back of it, like all these chemicals, which I had no fucking clue what they were. But because they were so long and I couldn't say them, it took me like 2 minutes to read them. And it was like X, Lacluclocsly, in 9, Tuclacle, to the point where that thought I had disappeared. And I realized by starving that thought allowed my brain that 2 minutes of peace, which you wouldn't have otherwise had. Now, that when I go to bed, I listen to stuff on YouTube, because the brain that works stuff out is a different part to, say, listening. So I can listen to YouTube stuff and still get a quality amount of sleep. So when I would read the bottles or the stuff on the bottles, it's a different part of the brain to what will be stimulated if I was thinking. But because you can only do one thing at one time, my brain was focused on reading and not thinking. And so I kept doing that. And eventually, I remember just having no thoughts, and I was reading through all the bottles. I was reading like that one, and then that one, and then that one. And then all of a sudden, I've gone like 10 minutes without thinking. And believe it or not, when I used to read books, I used to read the first sentence, something would trigger off in my head, and I'd have to think about it. And then that thought would go to another thought, which would go to another thought, and I wouldn't even read the book.
Yeah.
I wouldn't finish a sentence. And I've
That
never read a
happens
book
to
in
me
my
still
life.
for sure.
I've
Yeah.
never read a book in my life because I never had the attention span to
Wow.
finish the sentence and know where
Yeah.
it's going. And then
Huh.
I realized if I listen to stuff, I can remember the whole 2 hour thing word for
I'm
word, but I
kind of the
can't
same
read
way for
shit.
sure. I feel you. Because the thing about listening is that it's going to keep going. You don't have control over it, where you have to read the next sentence and actually internalize it in order for the process to continue. So that's, you could get much more in flow state of when you're listening. For me anyway, that's how I agree. That's really cool. Wow, I didn't think about the whole fact that like when you read something, it's not engaging the same space as your brain as what thinking would, and therefore you're relaxing the thinking portion of your brain. Wow.
Yes, yes,
Really
yes,
interesting.
yes, yes. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's something so crazy and so simple, but it's so true. If you disrupt your, if you distract yourself, I remember doing this because I always think that if I think about this thing, it'll be the last thought. And I think about that one. It's like cigarette. One more fag, then I'll quit. One more fag, then I'll quit. One more, and I realized it doesn't ever end. And so by reading the bottles allowed me to not think. And I'm no joke, I couldn't remember the stuff that I was thinking about. And I trusted the process that because thoughts don't end, if I just don't think about that thought and I distract myself, I will forget it to the point where I won't have what was I thinking about to think about it because I just can't remember. And so it's almost like, oh, what was I thinking about? People think, what was that person's name? And they sit all day trying to think about that person's name that they saw. What a waste of energy. What a waste of time. You're going to go your whole life seeing people, not knowing who the fuck they were. It doesn't matter. And so it's like we have no control over our brain, that thinking part. And it's tiring trying to think, like, what was that person's name? Oh, where's he from? I said, like, people like, they literally, they punish themselves by, oh, it's a fucking name. So useless.
Totally. Yes, I've done that for sure. Yeah, it comes down to the patterns that we learn from our friends and parents and stuff like that. This is the type of talk that we hear others say to themselves, and then we feel like that's what we need to do in order to be an adult or to be responsible or to be whatever, right? So, yeah, man, this is some really like life-shifting stuff because we're talking about the bare minimum of our just internal communication patterns. And that obviously creates massive, massive repercussions in the rest of our experience of life in general. So this stuff is not to be sort of laughed about. It's really important.
I always have a coffee with my meal, and because I always apply action to my thought immediately, right? When I don't apply action immediately, I forget. Because I've got
Yes.
into a pattern now where when I think about it, my brain expects me to do it. So if I don't do it, my brain doesn't know the difference. So I always have a coffee, as I said. I made a coffee today. I believed I made a coffee today, but that was yesterday, right? So I remember thinking to myself today, shit. Where did I leave my coffee? I've not drunk it. I looked around the house. I couldn't find it because I never made it because I thought about it. And because I didn't do it immediately for whatever reason, I did something else. My brain thinks I've already done it. And then my mum came in the kitchen. She says, you're losing it. And I'm like, listen, I'm not losing it. My brain is so used to thinking and doing and manifesting immediately that it doesn't know the difference between what's real and what isn't real, right? If you do not do something there and then, you will forget. That is not dementia. The reason why people say forget their car keys is because they're thinking about something else in that moment and they're not present. So if dementia is, oh, I put my socks in the fridge, that's not fucking dementia. That's not forgetting. You just were thinking about something else. You went to the fridge to get, say, milk out for the tea, but you're thinking about fucking putting socks in the wash bin. So you're confusing your thoughts. So I have done that, but does that mean I've got dementia? No. So if that person's doing that at, say, 60, he's saying he's got dementia. If he doesn't have an answer for why he hasn't got it, he's just going to take your word. And as I said, you go to the doctor and then you get in that cycle, then
And
your
then everyone
parents take
starts helping
control,
you,
he
and
stops
then you
choosing
just,
for you,
yeah,
your brain
totally.
weakens and you die.
Fascinating.
Right, plug anything you want to plug.
Jungle Man Sam, for those who who haven't figured it out. I got music on Spotify. I got videos on YouTube. I, you know, have Instagram and Facebook. So come and connect. I got lots for you on my channels.
Right, I'm going to stop recording, wait there, and I'll say goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this episode, I have many more for you to listen to, so go back and have a look at the old ones. Also, make sure that you have subscribed and notifications are turned on so you know when I've released a new one. Follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. Have a great day.